It's not supposed to be easy. If you want everyone to like you and for things to be easy, go sell ice cream. But you as a leader, it's really taking the harder road as a leader. And so we just got to always remind ourselves that as leaders, it's going to be hard.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a
liftoff. We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super
you.
Hey guys, it's Eric. Thanks for joining the show. We're going to do a call-in again today. So those that are trying to reach us through EQ at Equalman to be on the call-in, I apologize. There's a lot of people trying to get in. So just shoot us a note, EQ at Equalman. We'll make sure we get you in the next episode. But really appreciate you guys calling in. Hopefully you like this format. Send us your notes, your comments, and we'll keep rocking these out. All right, we got a call-in guest, Jeanette Rizzi. Jeanette, thanks for calling on the show, the Super You podcast. We've got here today not only myself, but we've got Anthony, we've got Andrew, we have Anna Maria, we have Kelsey. So if you hear them in the background, normally they're in the background correcting me because I make tons of mistakes, which I always preach on stage. That's what we should do. Be as flawsome as possible. Fail fast, fail forward, fail better. But that's just my excuse for making mistakes, and they'll correct me. And also when they have value add, which they all the time do. They'll shoot out answers or look stuff up on the interwebs. But anyways, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Now tell the audience just a little bit about you. I obviously want to promote you. So give us your quick 30 seconds and your best handle.
Sure. My best handle is at Jeanette Rizzi that's Twitter and on Instagram. You can also look me up on my website, which is JeanetteRizzi.com. So it's always 2 N's, 2 T's, 2 Z's, JeanetteRizzi.com. So I perform a solo show. It's called Blindsided. And the show is my personal story about overcoming my best friend's suicide. And I use that show to, you know, go out in the world and tell people that life is always worth living and that, you know, there's always ways to overcome adversity. Taking your life shouldn't be one of them. And I like to donate a portion of the proceeds always to a charity that is, you know, out there promoting the same thing. So if anyone's listening and is in a charity that helps with depression and prevents suicide, please reach out.
Fantastic. Love it. Thanks for calling in the show. And so what questions do you have here today that hopefully can help all your amazing efforts that you're doing out there?
Sure. Well, the first one I have for you actually is about parenting, because I do have 9-month-old twins. And so a conversation my husband and I always have is about posting about your children on social media. We're wondering if in the future, if you feel as though that may cause issues with our children, like if I'm going to get called into my daughter's therapy session when she's 20, saying posting about her on social media caused damage.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I get this a lot because of the book, What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube. First and foremost, parenting's personal choice. Every situation's different. And what I do is, and this is what I do, it's not saying that everyone out there needs to do it, is that I don't post a ton on my kids. That's just a personal choice that my wife and I have decided to make. But that's actually not the norm. 92% of children under the age of 2 already have a digital stamp, meaning that there's posts about them, either by their parents or by someone else. And then crazy enough, 25% of the children that will be born tomorrow, so 25% of the babies that will be born tomorrow already have a digital stamp today. Parents get excited. They post sonograms. They post names online. So again, it's a personal choice. What I do is I don't post our kids out there. There's pros and cons to that, obviously. We generally post most of our stuff on WhatsApp in a closed group with our family members. But again, I don't begrudge anyone that wants to post about their kids. I think it's great. The grandparents can see it. People that aren't there can see what's going on at a holiday or whatever they're doing in their lives. So it's a great way to stay connected. The one thing I do begrudge, and this is where I want to get this out there so everyone knows it. And so hopefully you can spread the word on this and others that are listening can spread it. The one thing I don't like is there's a lot of parents that take advantage of their children. Meaning, I know that if I personally posted about our kids, we've seen the data when we occasionally do it, it goes through the roof. People like it. It's funny. They give you likes. There's more views. And so I see a lot of people that use their kids to get likes, to get views. That I have a big problem with. And then also too, is if you're using your children, say on YouTube, to be a YouTube star, is you've got to be really good at making sure that they become the next LeBron James, meaning child prodigy that seems to do well into their adult life, and not the next Lindsay Lohan, where you use your child to generate revenue and then it just ruins that child's life. And so that's a tricky, tricky balance to walk when people do that. But again, just as a whole, for most people, do what's comfortable. Because I know my kids will probably be upset with me as all their teenage friends, as we look down the road a decade from now, go, why isn't there anything posted about you? Did your parents not love you? We have all this great information on Facebook, and all of our memories are right here on Facebook. That's assuming Facebook's still around. Most of these tech companies last about 20 years, and all of a sudden you get the hassle of moving your pictures around to some other place, and most of us don't have the time to do that. But anyways, I'm going down a rat hole. The sum of what I'm saying is really do what's most comfortable for you. And a way to do that is what I call the 3-second rule. This applies to not only business, but also when you post around your family, is if you have to think more than 3 seconds, whether it's a good idea or not, or whether you think it's going to be of value to someone, when we talk about the business level, it probably isn't. So 3 seconds, if you got to think more than 3 seconds, don't post it.
So you touched on it a little bit when I watched you speak, but my question for you is about, what advice can you give to those of us who are chasing dreams outside of our day job, you know, working towards a dream? And obviously we have to use social media to do that, but also protecting our day jobs.
Well, I love this question. It really hits home. Just to give a background on myself, because I think it's helpful for the listeners. A lot of people think, oh, this person, XYZ person, just arrived overnight, is that I had a side hustle when I had a full-time position. And I talk about this in our side hustle podcast, but really it's understanding that I hope all of you are chasing that dream and have that side hustle. And a lot of us doing that side hustle, we actually do enjoy our quote unquote day job, but we also have these other things that we want to do. We want to give to the world. And so I definitely encourage everyone that has that in them to do their side hustle. And it's a lot of work. I remember writing the first book, Socialnomics. I was living in Boston at the time. I was literally typing the book on the T as I rode into work. So 20 minutes here, 15 minutes there, it's snowing outside in Boston. I'm just rocking away on my phone, just writing the book. And then I'd take a day off to go speak. So when I first started speaking, I'd actually take a vacation day. I'd fly down to Buenos Aires and then have to fly back to be with my team. And then after a couple of years, I decided to go all in on that side hustle and make it my hustle. Now, specific to your question, is it's not reward, it's risk reward. So there is risk, as you mentioned, all of a sudden some employee comes after and sues you. Or in my case, it could have been that someone goes, wait, I just heard that he flew down to Buenos Aires. Isn't he going to be tired doing his day job? And so those things are going to happen. So the best way that I found personally is I proactively went to the person that was my boss. Fortunately, they're the owner of this giant company, and there's a private company, but just said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm scratching this itch. I just wanted to give you the heads up. If at any point this becomes detrimental for either party or all three parties, you, my team, myself, then we can have a frank discussion about that. And so a lot of times you have to just be proactive. But that being said, is that someone came up to me that's a school teacher and they're also this fire dancer. And I go, what the heck's a fire dancer? And then I go check it out, see online that a fire dancer, they're wearing a little like these crazy kind of outfits. They're throwing flames around. And so as an elementary school teacher, somewhat an old school way of thinking is that's a disconnect. But what I told her is I go, hey, it's not reward, it's risk reward. But the key is, don't try to hide this other part of you. It makes you stronger, just these different pieces that are you. And the more we can do that as a society, everyone's going to win. And I think society is becoming more aware of that because of the transparency of these digital tools that someone always, a lot of people yell, they're all bad. There's actually really good parts to these digital tools. And one of them is that full transparency that, okay, even though I'm a school teacher during the day, it's cool and okay that I practice art as a fire dancer at night. And again, the 3-second rule applies here again. Just always think 3 seconds. If I didn't think more than 3 seconds, whether it's a good idea for my current position or job, then it probably isn't. But most of the stuff we're doing are these side hustles. What you're doing is great, right? You're giving back to people. You're giving back to society. And it's not supposed to be easy. If you want everyone to like you and for things to be easy, go sell ice cream. But you as a leader, it's really taking the harder road as a leader. And so we just got to always remind ourselves that as leaders, it's going to be hard.
Great. Thank you. Yes. That's what I tell young leaders that are under me. It's lonely at the top.
Yeah. That's, and then on the personal branding side too, with your personal brand is that go, and we might get into this later, but it's really about sprinkling in some of those things. And so for me, I'll talk about Michigan State basketball. And so I'll post stuff when they're playing in the game. That was a bad call, or this is what Coach Izzo's doing. Because I played basketball there, but I love it. I love Michigan State basketball. That's my release. And so 80% of what I talk about is still digital leadership, but it's okay to kind of sprinkle in those items. Or if Gary Vee, anyone that follows Gary Vee out there, he talks about the Jets, right? So it's just, you kind of sprinkle in these things that it makes you more human. Taylor Swift, she talks about on the Super Bowl podcast coming up that she goes, look, the more I started to show people that I'm not perfect, that I'm actually kind of goofy, that it actually was a win for me. I didn't have to be perfect. And two, is a win all of a sudden from a business standpoint, business started to boom even more because people are like, I like Taylor. I can identify with her. She struggles with what I struggle. And when you sprinkle these things on, I always like to think about it more as like a house. So if you're adding an extension to your house, you add a sunroom to your house, you're not starting a brand new house. Now, sometimes it'll merit, if you want to just totally redo your entire life, then you start the brand new house. But most of us, what we're doing with our personal brand is in time, we layer on that complexity kind of one room at a time. Thinking about that house analogy, just adding on that sunroom. Now I'm going to add on a garage, or I might add on another bedroom. And so that's what I always like to think of when it comes to that personal branding.
So my next question is, what would be your best advice? What do you do personally when life knocks you down and you've got to pick yourself back up?
Remind myself that it's supposed to knock me down. So getting back to that leadership piece, remind me that it's supposed to be knocking me down. If it was easy, it would already be done. And strangely enough, what I do if I get super stressed or I'm getting knocked down a lot is just think about my kids. And I've got a million things I got to do. I'm getting stressed out. I'm getting knocked down here, here, and here. And then I think back to when my daughter had this, my daughter just had the staph infection. It was just this little pimple. And then literally within a couple hours, it turns into this massive staph infection. My wife texts me the picture. I go, you know, just take her to the ER just to be safe, you know, so we can sleep at night. And then literally she gets in the ER. They go, we've got to immediately put her in ambulance. We've got to get her down to have surgery. And we've got to put her under. And she's young, right? She's under 8 years old. So you're signing these waivers that say she might not wake up. You've got to sign this that we're putting her under for the surgery. And you've got to agree that she just might not wake up. And, you know, the tears are pouring down. And just thinking back to that, as I usually go back to that, seems kind of weird, but I always go back to that and go, you know, if I get that call right now for one of my daughters, everything else doesn't matter. This whole to-do list doesn't matter. And so that's the trick that I use when that happens. And it seems to help. I'm not always perfect at remembering to do that, but whenever I do that, it helps a ton.
My last question I always like to ask people is to pick someone from your favorite history book. And if you could ask that person 3 questions, what would they be?
From a business standpoint, it'd be Walt Disney. And I'd ask him, how do I have more fun and how do I help more people? And then the team's flashing numbers at me, which means we're going to lightning round. So my questions are going to be super fast coming your way. So okay. Are you ready to play the lightning round?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Number one, what's your favorite Super U episode?
The Anthony Bourdain. That was an amazing podcast for me personally, because I just turned 40 and he just kept saying a lot that, you know, he didn't get his big break until he was 44.
No, that makes sense. And Colonel Sanders didn't start till 60. So it's always, and we're going to live to 113. I looked that up the other day. The average person now is going to live to 113. So we're just starting. Best advice Great. You've ever received, and who gave it to you?
My father always said, don't be a tail on anybody else's kite. Stand on your own 2 feet and do what's right.
Oh, I like that. Rhymes. Don't be a tail on anyone else's kite. Love it. Book, poem, saying that you love that the audience should know about?
Well, my favorite saying is Les Brown, who, if you've ever heard any of his speeches, was...
Les is giving some super tips. Yeah, Les Brown has been...
Yeah, Les Brown, I love his saying that when life knocks you down, be sure to fall flat on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
If you can look up, you can get up. Denzel Washington on the Super U podcast said, get knocked down 100 times, get up 101. I do a terrible Denzel impersonation. That was not one. But guy's voice, I want Denzel Washington's voice. Fun fact right. about you. It could be that you've hold the Guinness Book of World Record for most Halloween candy ever eaten. Any fun fact the audience should know about you?
Yes, my mother was a nun and my father was a monk.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So I talk a lot about that in my one woman show. My mom was a nun, a Sister of Mercy for 5 years. And my father was a Franciscan monk for 14 years. And then they met and fell in love and left their orders and got married.
Wow. That is cool. And that is a good tease to check out your show and to check more out about Jeanette Rizzi. Double N, double T, double Z. Thanks, Jeanette, for calling in.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. All right. Our next caller on the Super U podcast is from the Great White North. We've got Sasha from Toronto. Welcome to the Super U podcast, Sasha.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
No, great to have you. I'm sure it's freezing up there. So to help warm you up, what questions do you have?
I was wondering, what is the best advice you have about personal finance?
Well, we don't get too many finance questions on the show, but fortunately, I've been able to speak in front of over 50 banks around the world. And so what I always like to go to is basically the philosophy that Warren Buffett has when it comes to personal finance, is that time is your friend and then compound interest is your best friend. And also what Buffett talks about, feel free to check out the podcast. I think he goes over it on our Super U podcast with Warren Buffett, is that people ask him, why don't people do what you say? It seems so simple in your formula to amass wealth. And he goes, well, it's quite simple. People don't want to get rich slow. You know, we're always trying to get rich quick. And so remember, time is your friend. Compound interest is your best friend.
So I had one more question about advice. What advice do you have for keeping a strong marriage?
So strong marriage, three things really when you look at it. Number one is let laughter be your soundtrack. Number two, understand that any argument, there's not a winner or a loser. And that took me a long time to realize that, is that if I left an argument thinking that I'd won that argument, then we both lost. And then third is, this is probably the hardest one to do, you've got to choose to love each other even when you don't really like each other in that moment.
And the last one is a bit more fun. What is your best cooking recipe that you have?
Best cooking recipe. I wish my daughters were here, because they're so blunt when I go, do you like this? And they're like, no, daddy, it's terrible. So it's good to have kids to tell you what they like, what they don't like. I would say scallops. So scallops, I always used to order them at the restaurant because it's something I didn't think I could cook at home. And then I realized it's one of the easiest things to cook. And so as long as you thaw out the scallops properly, the secret that I found is if you can cook with bacon grease. So if you are going to cook bacon, let's say you cooked a bunch of bacon in the oven, make sure you save that bacon grease and then just use bacon grease. It covers up the scallop. It's very easy. You can cook scallops in about 10 minutes in a pan with bacon grease. So there you go. Eric Qualman's scallop recipe.
Sounds delicious.
Well, stay warm up there in Toronto, Sasha.
I will. Thank you.
So thanks again for listening to today's Super You podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super You podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super,
super you.